independent in thought, and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This will be a plan where you can choose your doctor. This will be a plan where you can choose your plan. And you know what the plan is? This is the plan. And we're going to have a tremendous success.
That right there was the president of these United States of America, Donald J. Trump, talking about the plan that's rolling out. It's going to be a while before it's implemented. So before you get all giddy inside and say it's over, Obamacare's gone, it's going to take a few years to implement when and if it ever gets out of, you know, hearings and people discussing it, actually put into actual law. Don't know when it's going to happen. They say 2020. Mike Lee and you know, Rand Paul and all of these guys today, they were saying that this isn't what we want. None of this stuff's what we want. None of this stuff is what we've talked about in the past. None of it. None of it whatsoever. Not what we hoped for. It's not what we were looking for. It's none of those things. Where's that thing we talked about low those many months ago?
That plan passed with the support of every Republican in the House of Representatives and every Republican in the Senate. And it did so just in the last 14 months.
That's Mike Lee from Utah. Not every Republican's happy. A lot of people are happy. Republicans are thinking this is a great opportunity. Finally, we're going to get rid of this thing. Remember, Obamacare was done. So as I've talked to people who are Democrats who were terrified, I always remind them that regardless of what you think, it was done, right? It was dead. It was going to implode. So this was going to happen at some point in time. And it would have been a derelict of duty if the Republicans didn't actually, now with control of everything, stand up and try to fix it. In fact, many times I looked at the Democrats and Republicans and think, you let it get this far. But there's going to be a new plan. What is it going to do? It's, you know, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to do. Because what it looks like now, what they talk about now, and Rand Paul calls it Obama Light, dismantling the Obamacare taxes that have hurt job creators. Those are those big taxes on medical devices and over-the-counter medications and insurance premiums. Eliminate the individual and employer mandates. Prohibit health insurers from denying coverage or charging more for pre-existing conditions. Here's the thing. There's something in there as well. If you let your coverage lapse while you have a pre-existing condition, they can charge you more. Helping young adults stay on their, you know, parents' insurance till 26. Sounds like a little Obamacare light, but, you know, they're also going to have a per capita allotment for states where they're going to give them X amount of dollars. There's going to be health savings accounts, but how big and what's it going to be exactly? There's going to be help Americans access affordable quality health care by providing a monthly tax credit. That's the subsidy, right? You got a subsidy. Now they're just, instead of giving it to you at the front end, they're going to give it to you at the back end. It kind of feels a little bit like the same, right? The biggest thing is are you going to allow us to start to shop in other places instead of being captured to a singular marketplace? That is the big question. Competition has to be a part of this. Competition absolutely, 110%, needs to be a part of this or it won't work.
That means lower costs for hardworking families. It means more choices and competition so that you can buy the plan that you need and that you can afford. It means greater control over your health care.
That's it. Greater control. We all want more control over health care. We all want those things, right? That's what we're hoping for. Greater control over our health care. The one size fits all didn't work. You're a 65-year-old man. You're getting prenatal health. You're getting all of the things. No, I don't need that. You're an 18-year-old dude. You don't need some of the stuff. I mean, it was some of the things that were on there, right? Some of the things that were on there. You're a 22-year-old healthy girl. You don't need some of the things that were. The one size didn't fit all. This, they hope, is more malleable, that will fit you. But there's going to be losers. There's always losers. Everybody realizes that. There's going to be losers in this because there's going to be some people that are going to lose their health care. They're going to be able to. And this is the subsidy thing they talk about. where they're taking away the subsidies, they're then handing you back tax credits. The problem is you can't afford to pay for it now, right? So you're going to be asked out on this. And that's the feeling that's going to happen. Unless, of course, the competition is so great that it drives prices down. Then it's a different story. Some people are happy. Some people are can't make everybody happy. And you've got it. This had to happen. But what's it going to look like in a year, 18 months, 24 months before it rolls out? 2020. We're just now in 2017. 2020 is when this thing's supposed to roll out. And that the one they were talking about they passed 14 months ago that Mike Lee talked about, that was 2025. That was 8 years from now. Hey, do you know how much can happen in politics 3 years, 8 years from now? A ton of stuff can happen. So we will see. We will absolutely see. But they are at least trying something, and we got to give them that. I don't know, again, what it's going to look like by the time it rolls out, because you see these things, they're a snapshot, but in the end, at some time, it's a put up or shut up, and we're going to have to see what it looks like. I hope they debate it on the floor. I hope we hear more about it. And the Republicans right now are going to have issues with several other Republicans that don't want any part of this, and they're going to hold out for some different things. So this is, like I said, while they're talking about it, what you're seeing probably isn't going to be what you get. I'm just pointing that out to you. I'm just pointing that out.
There is a concern about what happened in the 2016 election. The House and Senate Intelligence Committee have the staff and the capabilities and the processes in place to look at this in a way that's objective, and that's where it should be done.
That's the spicy talking about the, and I call him the spicy because he is. Can we just be honest? Have you met anybody who's ever worked at the White House who's as spicy as the Sean? Doubtful. But the spicy there talking about the wiretaps. Well, guess what? The GOP, the Intel Committee, has just come forward tonight and said, yeah, we're finding zero evidence of wiretaps. Zero. Zero evidence of wiretaps. Zero. It doesn't mean they're going to stop looking. Doesn't mean they're not going to push forward. But as of this moment, they're not finding a lot of smoke and or fire. Something to think about. Something to think about. You know, yesterday I talked a bit about the fact that, we need to hold our leaders to a higher standard. We had a couple of callers say the exact same thing. We need to hold our leaders to a higher standard. And when you tweet something out like that, you've got to be cognizant of what you're saying. And people saying he's got to have the truth. If he's saying he's got to have the truth. Today was a perfect example of something that he did. We killed an ISIS fighter who was released from Gitmo, from Guantanamo Bay. That's in Cuba. That's in Cuba, Chad. That's in Cuba. He tweets out 122 vicious killers released by the last administration. You know, like, shame on them or something like that. Only to find out that of the 122 he's talking about, 113 were actually released by Bush. Higher standard. Not saying people aren't going to make mistakes. I want this president to succeed. I believe he could surprise a lot of us. I really do. If we can get past the craziness and sometimes the things that are just have nothing to do with the everyday part of being the president of the United States. Somebody take that damn Twitter away. Or at least check him, right? Check him. Wait, hold on here before you go and hit that. Huh? That's not true. The question we ask, that's it. Can we hold him to a higher standard? Here's a question. Let's say for the sake of argument that the Republicans go out there and they find nothing when it comes to wiretapping. Nothing when it comes to wiretapping. Those are big accusations to make. And not half so. And I'm not saying there, I mean, I don't know. There could be something there. Maybe something in this WikiLeaks. Maybe he got an alert that, look, they wiretapped you and it's going to come out in all of this. I don't know. You don't know. I'm just saying, what if? 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the program. Love it when you do. 323-538-2423. Call us as well. 844-DIG-CHAT. Hey, if you're hiring right now, right this second, stop what you're doing. unless you're going to ZipRecruiter.com, then continue on. But make sure you use ZipRecruiter.com/report. I'll tell you why in a second. You're looking for that perfect employee. We talked about it earlier. How many people? 6 out of 10 people are leaving the places they work because they feel uncomfortable there. You've got the perfect environment for them. You're a great company, and you're looking for the right candidate. ZipRecruiter.com can help you with that. Stop sticking that ad in one or two places. Look at 200-plus sites, including Facebook and Twitter, by going to ZipRecruiter.com. And with a single click, boom, it's out on those 200-plus sites. And boom, off it goes. You can find candidates in any city, any industry, nationwide, post once. Watch those candidates who are qualified roll in to their easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails, no crazy phone calls. All you have to do is quickly screen the candidates. You could rate the candidates, then you can hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter is being used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized companies. Yes, it is amazing to use. Trust me, we use it. We love it. Right now, my listeners, you guys out there, the Chad Benson Show, you can go to ZipRecruiter and post your job for free. ZipRecruiter.com/report. That's ZipRecruiter.com/report. One more time. Chad Benson Show listeners, post your job for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/report. Post your job today. It's the Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
It was not a gotcha question, sir.
It was from the standpoint that he didn't know what you were asking about.
But I said that as I was asking the question. I said you don't haven't heard this, and I don't expect that you have heard it.
Senator, tell us.
Look at the tape, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
That right there was Al Franken and Chuck Grassley today arguing about the whole Sessions thing. And I, you know what, I had a lot of people pissed at me, still do. Same thing yesterday about Trump and the wiretapping. A lot of people angry because I am apparently in this day and age being on a radio program that's called The Chad Benson Show, not allowed to disagree with anybody on the right-hand side of an aisle, or I am considered somehow un-American or a bad person, a liberal. You listen to the show, God bless you, you know, I am anything but that. I am. What's next for political discord in this country when we can't have honest, open conversations? We have seen it over the last several years take a sour turn as individuals because of social media. And over the last 24 months, it has become unbearable. It has. I have said this all along. I'm very independent. I have some things I'm conservative about and some things in life that I'm socially moderate or liberal about, I guess, whatever you want to call it. Doesn't really matter because you're going to give it a name anyways. And I don't like to give it a name. I am me, first and foremost. And I'm okay that you attack me. No problems with that. I'm okay. People say you walk the fence. No, I don't walk the fence. I look at everything in a very easy way. This is this subject right here. I'm going to talk about this subject, look at this subject, dissect it, try to find out as much as about it, and then we could talk about it, and I'll give you my opinion. I'm not going to blanketly throw things out there like so many people in this industry do, who go off half-cocked with pretend ideas that they read on just a few websites without doing any research. The people that argue with me, it's funny, man. You get the emails I get and the text messages I get. First of all, it always starts out with a horrible name that I'm called, which shows you right there, solid. And when you're angry like that, rather than have a conversation, you want to tell me what a horrible human being, father, alcoholic, drug addict, I got a lot of that stuff, and I laugh. I am, because I don't give this president a chance. Yet every day I talk about the fact that I believe this president has a great opportunity for being great, and I support him 100%. People only hear what they want to hear. It's hard to have political discord when you only want to hear a certain side of things. What's next for political discord in this country is if we can't actually have a conversation and or hold our leaders accountable for the things they say and the actions they do. Because there's an R by their name or there's a D by their name, we have failed. The first thing we need to do for political discord is realize that when we ask a question, whether it be about Trump or the former President Obama or anybody else, it is not you we are asking a question about as an individual. It is a person that is not you. It is the president. It is a leader. We need to stop taking things so serious as an attack on ourselves. We do. And if you tell me you only read these websites or you only read these talking points, then I know that for us to have a real discussion, you're never going to listen to anything I have to say. And if you stop listening to what other people have to say, political discourse is not going to go anywhere. You're just getting in your foxhole ready to battle. That's it. You don't have an open mind. You don't have any of those things. You have made up your mind, and you're going to stand there and stand pat, even if I show you something different. And it's both sides of the aisle that are guilty of doing that. What's next for political discord? It's going to get uglier until we can stop taking things so personal as if the person that we ask a question about is actually us. If you're not Donald Trump, if you're not Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, if you're not Chuck Schumer, if you're not Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, then we're asking it about them, not you. That's what's next for political discord in this country. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Coming up, Tyler Cohen's going to join us. We talked a bit about his book last week. We got him on. I'm excited. It's called The Complacent Class. All right? The Complacent Class. How self-segregation is leading to stagnation. Why are we self-segregating and leading to stagnation? Why are we complacent? He's got some answers for us. Straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
We have much less urgency about improving the world. We seek safety and security above all else. For each individual, this may seem to be a rational decision, but the long-run result is that society as a whole becomes less dynamic, we're less able to pay our bills, and we have less social mobility. And that's the world we're seeing today.
Less able to pay your bills. That's not a good thing. Why are we complacent? Tyler Gowen's going to join us in a second. His new book is called The Complacent Class, The Self-Defeating Quest for the American Dream. I wonder this sometimes about America. We're so amazing, and having lived around the world, I've been very blessed to see the way that other kids grow up and how they react to certain things. But why have we become the way that we've become? Joining us now is Tyler Cohen. Thanks so much for coming on the show today, Tyler.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. So what is the complacent class? What is that about?
America has been losing some of its cultural and economic dynamism. So we move house across state lines at much lower rates than we ever used to. We're much more afraid to let our children play outside. We're much more likely to medicate ourselves. Even rates of productivity and innovation, contrary to what you sometimes hear, those have gone down. A lot of our best innovations, like Netflix and Amazon, they're actually things that just help you stay at home or maybe improve your leisure time. So things are changing more slowly, and we're a less flexible society.
You know, you talk about things changing slowly, and I heard an interview that you thought the other day. You said, you know, you would think with all the innovation that, you know, planes would go faster, but they don't go any faster today than they did, say, 20, 30 years ago.
even 40 years ago, trains also do not go faster. Tomorrow night I'm taking the train up to New York City. It probably will be late. It's not a better trip than I could have done in the mid-1970s.
Why is that? Why have we lost our way to try to innovate in something like that? When wouldn't it be better if we could get from here to the other side of the country, from New York to L.A. or vice versa, in an hour and a half or 2 hours?
Sure. In the 1990s, we still had supersonic planes flying to Europe. We've even gone backwards in that regard. But I think what we've done is we've made our inner and home lives more comfortable and more safe and secure, and that is extremely pleasant to have if you can do it. But we've lost interest in grand projects and really being movers and shapers of our physical world, and eventually all of American society will pay the price for that.
We're talking to author Tyler Cohen. His book is called The Complacent Class, The Self-Defeating Quest for the American Dream. You know, you talk about Steve Jobs and Ben Franklin. You talk about all of these people, with risk takers, and that was the one thing. I lived in Europe for about a decade, and the one thing about America is we always had this can-do attitude where a lot of Europeans didn't. We are risk takers, and we seem to have lost that drive to want to take risk in life, whether it be start a small business or move across country for a new position. And I wondered, when did this start to happen? Is it just because of the Netflix, or have we just somehow lost our way?
I think it started to happen slowly in the 1980s, but really picked up around 1999 or 2000. You see it also in people's portfolios. They want to hold more T-bills or more government-insured deposits. So there was a great volatility in this country and chaos in the 60s and 70s, and we reacted against that. We did make this country better and safer, but we also went too far. We slowed down, changed too much, and in essence, we're now stuck in this kind of trap.
You know, you talk about how we've made the country safer, yet nowadays we talk about things like free-range children who, for all intents and purposes, we think that every person who's driving a van or looks like they're a bit scruffy is going to snatch our children. And we have this fear factor that, oh, the just around the corner is the next thing that's going to hurt us.
There are now schools that don't allow children to play the game of tag because it's too dangerous. So, you know, you might limit some injuries in the short run, but I think we're not preparing our children for a world where there always is some real risk.
No.
We're spoiling them and coddling them.
Yeah, that's that snowflake generation where, you know, when I was a kid, and I'm sure you're the same, you know, same way. When I was a kid, I dealt with situations, and I think we're sending kids now out into this world where they've never had any kind of blowback and they've never had to deal with a situation. Everything that was a bully was dealt with by an adult, and they get in the real world. And guess what? The real world can suck at times, and mom and dad aren't there to take care of you.
That's right. So when it comes to jobs or politics or bigger parts of life, people aren't really prepared for this notion. They might have to take some kind of loss or make a big adjustment. And so our companies, our employment practices, how our government spends money, all those things, we see them slowing down, the wheels grinding to a bit of a halt.
Talking to author Tyler Cohen, his new book's called The Complacent Class, The Self-Defeating Quest for the American Dream. You know, you talk about the fact that we don't move like we used to. I'm very fortunate. I've been able to travel since I was a kid. I lived in Europe. I've done a lot of different things, lived all over the country. Most of my friends all live within 10, 15, 20 miles of where we were born and raised and grew up, live next to their families. That used to be the thing. I mean, we've came out here from the, you know, from the east. We made this giant trek, and now it's like we're just stopped.
If you look at the data, what's really striking is the one group of people who still move around this country are Mexicans and Mexican Americans. And they will indeed, you know, cross the whole country in search of a better job or for some economic reason. They're in a way, you know, like we were much earlier in the 20th century. They're the group that still has that, you know, willing to pick up and move spirit. Immigrants in general, I think, are the least complacent class in this country.
Do you think immigrants in general have almost a better understanding of what the American dream is comparatively to Americans that, like you said, maybe enjoy the luxuries of life and it's great that we have Netflix and all of these kind of things, but they have an understanding better of what that dream is because they've come here in search of it, and we've had it in front of us, so we're just kind of like, nah.
Very, very often, an immigrant is more likely to understand that he or she has to make some really big adjustments, that some suffering will be involved. They're more likely to have a bit of a chip on their shoulder and actually a, you know, productive, energetic way. So in a sense, It's parts of the rest of America that are having trouble assimilating to what the immigrants are doing. We usually talk of it the other way around.
Talking to author Tyler Cohen about his new book called The Complacent Class, The Self-Defeating Quest for the American Dream. What do you think of Trump? I mean, and you know, he's talking about a lot of things, manufacturing. And I've always thought, look, the new middle class of America needs to be built off the Internet and in technology, not, you know, standing inside of a factory all day. What's your take on him as a president and his look forward to this, you know, complacent class to deal with?
For all of his talk about change, his vision is rooted so deeply in the past. So if he talks about infrastructure, the first thing he mentions is rebuilding bridges, roads, and tunnels. Now, I'm not against doing that at all, but it's such a 1930s vision. It's not about the smart grid and online education and biotech and what we can do with genomics. You know, rebuilding bridges, tunnels, and roads, that's it. So it's backward-looking. It's actually a sign of our stasis and complacency, I think. He's not actually a disruptive president in any manner other than rhetoric.
Moving forward, though, like if you were to say today, what are the things that we as a nation, to get our mojo back, to get out of this complacent class, what are the things that we need to hyper-focus on or we should be looking at to do that is going to start to get us back into the moving forward rather than moving backwards or staying stagnant?
Well, my main purpose in the book is just to give people a sense of urgency and tell them there's a real problem, that if we want to remain America, world leader, world's most dynamic economy, we can't take that for granted. There's then, in practical terms, you know, a long list of things I would do. I deregulate many parts of our economy, for instance. But I don't think the list of what I would do is the important thing. The important thing is why people still don't seem to care. And what we're arguing about in politics, it's often so trivial relative to the actual problems this country faces.
I couldn't agree with you more.
I wasn't crazy about either, you know. It's not that I thought either side really was on the ball.
No, I couldn't agree more. I think we spend more time arguing about little things that don't matter when the everyday average American person wants to figure out how they get ahead. But that also falls on their lap, too. It can't be just about government. It needs to be about the individual in this country getting ahead and making that decision.
I would say we so often get the government we deserve, and that's actually a bit depressing.
This is David Tyler Cohen. His new book's called The Complacent Class. It's the self-defeating quest for the American dream. Have we gotten to the point, Tyler, where we have, is there a new American dream? Because there once used to be that American dream, the house, the picket fence, the dog, the wife, the kids, those kind of things. What's the new American dream?
The new American dream isn't here yet, but I think it's a nation where we succeed in using our innovativeness to make healthcare and education cheap, high quality, and accountable, you know, to all of us, and where politics and democracy works at least 30 or 40% better the way I think actually it used to. Those things are not unreachable. Most of all, we have to want to do them, get out of our shells a bit, not obsess over our Facebook pages, and realize there's an actual world out there that we just can't neglect.
You know, you talk about, you know, the things that we need to do. Is the individual, though, Is there a fear factor now? Because I seem to look around and I see too many people in my life who have dreams, but they're afraid to follow those dreams because for whatever reason, failure now seems to stop people, or the fear of failure comparatively to 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, when, again, we were a risk-taking nation.
That's correct. You know, I think there's nothing wrong with millennials as a generation, but they live at home much longer. They're less interested in buying cars or buying homes of their own. They have bigger problems with student debt. So they've grown up in an era with a relatively fixed economic pie and a much weaker sense of opportunity.
Oh, that's sad. His new book's called The Complacent Class, The Self-Defeating Quest for the American Dream. Tyler Cohen, appreciate you coming on today. Thank you so much for taking time. And we'll do all we can to try to get people moving forward, my man.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care. You know, there's so, you know, as a nation, he's right. I mean, we've become complacent. But I think that's what happens. We become fat, dumb, and happy. You look back at all of the great civilizations through time. At some point in time, they started to become complacent. Things started to be complacent. Look at Grant. What did Rocky become when he fought Clubber Lang? He was complacent, right? Can't do that. You always got to be on top of the game. Some people want it more than others. And I think right now we've lost that. We've lost that way. And I think we can get it back. But I think he's right about some things. We got to be a little bit more forward looking. And I have preached it and I will continue to do so. The internet, IT, technology, he talks about the biotech world. That is where your middle class is going to be found, not inside of a factory. It may put a 42-year-old back to work, but a 22-year-old who is going to end up becoming middle class isn't going to be in that same factory. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Grab that book. It is an amazing read, The Complacent Class, The Self-Defeating Quest for the American Dream by Tyra Cohen. It's the Chad Benson Show.
He is the hope of the universe.
The Chad Benson Show.
I love what that guy said, Tyler Cohen, about his new book, The Complacent Class. I love what he said. And people are going to, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get overnight. I can, and by the way, if you're thinking about texting me, go ahead, feel free to do it, 323-538-2423. I love what he said about Trump, and I have said it before, and people are going to say you're anti-Trump. I'm not anti-Trump. I'm all about moving forward. This belief that the middle class is going to be restored in some way, shape, or form by rebuilding a manufacturing base, that if we may do more manufacturing here in the next two decades than we've ever done before in our lives, and it'll be with a tenth of the people that we need to do it if we were just using manpower. The greatest opportunity for us is in all of the things he talked about. I have said it. Your middle class is going to be IT. It's going to be tech. He talked about biotech, engineering. There is where it is going to be. It is not going to be working at a factory 8 hours a day, waiting for the whistle to go off so you can eat your, you know, your lunch and then get back to shift number three. That's not where it is. 42-year-old man in Lima, Ohio, maybe. But his 22-year-old son or daughter, no. Innovate, create. That's how we move forward. We need more risk takers in this country, not less. We need more risk takers to venture out there and to do things. You want to do something in life, great. You got to risk it to win the biscuit, right? It doesn't come to you. You do. And people are going to come at me and say, you know what? I know you hate Trump because listen to what he had to say. No, I'm being honest. I want my president to succeed. And the thing is, I know Trump has it in him to look at bigger things, but like all politicians, they see today, they don't see tomorrow in certain things. To get elected, he had to talk jobs. That's great. But where's the innovation outside of that? That's what I want to know. That's it. And he's right, man. And I've said it before when it comes to immigrants. I respect somebody who's willing to walk across a desert. Right. We won't let our kids go to the park by themselves. Some kids are walking hundreds and plus miles through dangerous deserts, through horrific situations where the chances of them being abducted and turned into child slaves and trafficked are tremendous just to get here. And half these people in the country won't move across the street to benefit them. They won't. They won't do it. We need to stop being complacent. The fall of great empires and civilizations came when they were complacent, when they were fat, dumb, and happy, and they had nothing to worry about. And it wasn't an overnight thing, and it won't come in our lifetime. But over time, as we change, over time, what ends up happening is we just become something else. And the great idea that is this country, we need risk takers. We need people who are willing to innovate and to create. People who are willing to take a chance and fall flat on their ass, but get up and continue to do so. Because otherwise, what do we have? What do we have? He's right about politics. Do you think this is all they could be doing? How long it takes them to do something? They never get... They never... It's... We could be more efficient. But like everything else, there's more in it in the fighting, right? It's like watching a reality show. It's the buildup. It's the big fight that everybody's talking about. Nobody talks about the end when they shake hands and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have acted that way. Nobody does. We are complacent. We need to stop doing that. You want to lose weight? Go lose weight. Stop looking for a magic pill. You want to get rich? Find out something where there's a need and figure out how you can create the fix for that need. Playing the lottery is not a career program. And yes, some of us may have to move to other places in life to move forward. Just saying. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. You text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. His book's called The Complacent Class, The Self-Defeating Quest for the American Dream. Tyler Cohen was his name. I advise you to grab it, read it, soak it up. And let's stop being complacent and move forward as the great Americans that we are and the dreams that we have rather than the that we are right now at times.